rather do, what I want to do is I want to have Nolan come. He's going to share from the Word this morning. And Nolan, I'm excited. Nolan preached the sermon to me yesterday. So here's what I want you to do. Really lean in. He's chosen his words very precisely and very challenging words. So if you have a Bible with you, I want to encourage you to open up to John chapter 4, where Nolan will be speaking today, John chapter 4. So let's give Nolan, how many people know it's hard to get up in front of a crowd, especially when people are looking at you like, what's up here? So everybody put on a big smile as Nolan comes, and let's just give just a warm welcome this morning, make Nolan feel at home. So Nolan, God bless you.
Good morning, Journey Church family. I'm happy to be up here today. If you don't know, I'm Nolan. I'm Pastor Mike's favorite youngest son, just because Grant's his favorite oldest son. And I'm happy to have Chad here today because he's my laughing crowd. But I want to welcome everyone watching online. We got people from Florida, Idaho, Chicago, Illinois area. But we're still happy to have you guys, maybe even some people from the great state of Minnesota. And to my family in Ohio, love you guys. Good to have you watching. But if you guys have a Bible, like my dad was saying, turn with me to John chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses, and it's kind of going to jump around. So I encourage you this week to read the whole chapter of John chapter 4, just because there's a lot of good nuggets that we won't be speaking on today. But starting in verses 1 through 4, it says this. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. We're going to jump down to verse 9, but the next few verses just say that he went to Jacob's well. 7 through 9 says this. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" The next few verses, Jesus and this woman have a conversation. And one of the things is Jesus is like, "How many, are you married right now?" She's like, "No." And Jesus is like, "Correct. You've had 5 husbands and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband." And verse 27 says this. Just then his disciples came back and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her? Why are you talking to her?" So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll speak through me today, that you'll open up our hearts and our ears today through this word. Lord, I just pray that you'll soften our hearts and that these challenges today, that we'll apply them to our everyday lives, Lord. We're so thankful for everyone here and watching online. In your name, amen. If you don't know, I'm a big music guy. I'm a big Kanye West fan. I'm proud to say that. I'm also a Belieber. I'm a Justin Bieber fan. But I'm also, this was kind of awkward because we were at Main Streeters and Ari was there and she's like, "I'm a big Harry Styles fan." I'm like, I was going to put that in my sermon that I'm a big Harry Styles fan. And do you guys ever have just one song that always just gets stuck in your head every time you listen to it? There's one song by Niall Horan, who's actually was a part of One Direction with Harry Styles. It's the song No Judgment. And this is, I want to read some of the lyrics because kind of be preaching from this too today. So that I would sing, but I'm a little hoarse. No, I'm just kidding. I just can't sing. But it says this, "You don't have to change when I'm around you. So go ahead and say what's on your mind, on your mind. When you're with me, no judgment. You can get that from anyone else. You don't have to prove nothing. You can just be yourself. When you're with me, no judgment. We can get that from everyone else. So you don't have to prove nothing. When you're with me, no judgment." It was Gandhi that said, "I like your Christ, but not your Christianity." To me, it's impactful that this such a powerful man in history over the last 150 years believed in the teachings of Jesus, but wasn't a Christian because of other Christians he saw. I think in America, people outside the church kind of know Christians to be that judgmental, like, hey, if you don't do this, like, I don't want anything to do with you. The world sometimes knows us for our judgment, but the Bible, Jesus says, the world's going to know us from our love. So I think it's interesting that we have this calling to love people, but we judge. In my study, I Googled search, why do people judge others? Why do people just feel the need to judge? And it says this on one of the Google articles, is because we judge because people don't live up to our standards. So as Christians, we're setting standards that people who don't follow Jesus are, you're trying to live up to that. So I was thinking about this, I was like, the standards I have, would I have been able to live up to that before I was saved? And the answer is obviously no. As Christians, we have the power of the Holy Spirit to help us live, help us to obey God's word. And we're putting all those things on people that don't even believe. That'd be like me as if I was a center and my dad was the coach, and he's expecting me to play the position of an offensive lineman. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to put up different expectations for people who don't believe. I think as a church, I hope that we're not, people don't walk in and say, man, I felt so judged today. I don't want to ever go back to Journey Church because I felt judgment. But I've been praying for us and for me personally is that, man, I hope people when they come around me, that they will feel themselves. They can say what's on their mind. They don't have to prove anything because they know we love them. But to be honest, we all know a judgmental Christian. And if they're in this room, please don't look at them. Please don't say anything. Or if it's someone you're watching with right now, don't give them a little nudge. But it's sad to say we all know a judgmental Christian. But Jesus loves every person. At Journey Church, one of our values is people. And this is what we say. Every name has a story, and every story matters to God. To be honest, people matter to God. We read in Genesis that God created man in his image. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. We are created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can go and do the good things he planned for us long ago. A lot of us aren't treating other people like masterpieces. Some of us are treating people like a fifth grade art project that we get and just throw away. But everybody's a Van Gogh. Everyone's a Van Gogh, Mona Lisa. God, we are God's masterpiece. And that's what makes John 4 so amazing. Because Jesus, people would not have seen her as a Van Gogh. Jesus loved her and loved and cared for her and talked to her. And she even with all the men she's been with and all the questions she had, Jesus loved her. But I think it's interesting that she was asking him questions and Jesus was answering. I think many times, I know for me, I feel like, oh, I should just have this faith. I should just know it already. But I think it's important that we ask Jesus questions. Maybe, hey, where do you want me to go? Hey, why did this happen in the world? Jesus wants to answer those questions and Jesus wants to draw close to you. But there's three observations today that really stuck out that will kind of lead us into the final why this is No Judgment Church. And if you're taking notes, the title of this message is No Judgment. So you could probably guess that. But first observation was this, found in verse 4, is that Jesus had to go through Samaria. We read that Jesus interacts with this woman, and because he does, it impacts this whole village that she was living. Verses 39 through 42 say this, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. And they said to this woman, now we believe not just because of what you have told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. One thing that sticks out is that they said, we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. I think that's really important, that why we need to read the Bible for ourselves so we can get God's word in our heart. Not obviously, we love preaching. It's fun to hear, but we need to take that time to get alone with God and see what his word has to say. It's a discipline that we need to build. But because Jesus had to go through Samaria, he had to go through Samaria, it affected this whole village for eternity. Brent Silkey, who's going to be here on July 26, I believe, he said this at camp going into my junior year that has always stuck with me. He said, everyone lives forever somewhere. Then he preached this here. Do something that you have never done before to reach people that have never been reached before. We see Jesus, something no one has ever done before was take time and talk to this woman. So what is something you guys have to do? What is something that you guys feel like you just need to do that has never been done before? I believe when you guys step out in faith, people are going to encounter Jesus because of that step of faith. Maybe like for my parents stepping out, coming here, they've never led a church, but coming here 19 years ago, they had to do what they had never done before to reach people that have never been reached before. Maybe it's something that's starting a business. And I think this might be harder than starting a business, is going over to your neighbor and inviting them to church. If you don't believe me, I challenge you guys today, go across the street, say, hey, we got a message online. I mean, it's not the funnest thing to do, but it's a challenge, and we want to grow as a church. But the little things make a big difference. Maybe it's even saying, hey, I need to text this person, say, hey, love you, thinking about you, praying for you, let me know if you need anything. The little things, when you stack them up, they lead to something big. In the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie writes this: a smile costs nothing, but creates much. So who can you smile at today? Maybe it's that sour person at work, that sour neighbor, or maybe it's just that person that you don't really get along with, but you just need to smile at them, because a smile creates so much. So a smile creates so much. We see, kind of going back down to the scriptures, that when Jesus did this in verse 27, the disciples are like, why are you talking to this woman? We don't need anything to do with this woman. But when you have to do something, I think there's going to be opposition, even if it's from your closest people. I know for me, when I felt like I was called to Miami, I know it would have hurt if my mom, my dad, my brother, my grandparents, my cousin said, no, why are you going down there? But I knew in my heart, I had that conviction that that's where God was calling me to go. So as we go and do, I think we're going to face opposition. But that's what God is calling us to do, to reach people that has never been reached before. And Jesus is for the hurting and broken. We see that with this woman. Jesus loves people. And when has it ever been okay, church, to treat someone different because of the color of their skin? It's never been okay. We see Jesus, this woman was an outcast. He still loved her. And just because of someone's skin color doesn't mean they're different than us. We're all made in God's sight, yellow, brown, black, and white. All are precious in his sight. So we as a church, we're going to fight for people here in this community, here in the state of Wisconsin. We're going to fight for people. I just hope this church won't be an all-white church, an all-put-together church where everything looks good on the outside. But this is going to be a church where we leave the 99 sheep and leave the 99 and go after the one, because that's what Jesus did. And I pray that when people come into Journey Church, they'll be seeing no judgment. And I think we need just to take practical steps. We're going to get on to that later. But when you do something that's hard, not a lot of people might agree with it, but God is calling you to it. And my second observation is this: the woman was surprised. Have you ever been surprised by what God has done or what God is doing in your life? I think one of the best surprise moments in the Bible is in Acts, when Saul, also known as Paul, is on the road to Damascus, and Jesus encounters him, and his whole life is changed. Saul was a killer of Christians. Saul was killer of Christians. He didn't like the Christians. He was actually on the way to Damascus to kill some Christians, but then he had that encounter. And I love how Ananias is, when Jesus tells him to go pray for him, he's like, no, he kills Christians. But I think in Journey Church, we're going to be surprised by who comes to church at times. When we're going out and loving people, we're going to be surprised. Maybe you think, hey, that person will never come to church. But then you see them at church and you're like, oh, snap, they're here. That's the power of love. What's that sound? The power of love is a... Oh, I don't know what that sound is, but it just came in my mind. But when Paul, who was known for... Saul, who was known for killing Christians, he turned out to be one of the greatest apostles of all time. Some might even label him the goat. But he's even wrote 13 books in the Bible. But I remember for me going into middle school, I would go to a camp every year, and there was one kid who was coming with me, and I was like, oh no, oh no. He was kind of known for being mean, kind of known for being the tough kid that sometimes would get in fights, known to make trouble. And I was, to be honest, I was like, I'm a little scared right now. I don't want to get messed up with this kid. I don't want to say anything that's wrong. But getting to know him throughout the week, listening to him, listening to his story, I began to say, oh, that's why he acted. Like, this is why he's coming from a hurting home. Like, we need to pray for him. So I think when listening, this woman was surprised that Jesus listening interacted. But I think when we listen to others, we're going to grow deeper in love and deeper in empathy. So I challenge you guys this week. Maybe you know someone that you might have a difficult time with. For me, it's... No, I'm kidding. I'm not saying... I wouldn't do... But maybe it's just praying for that person. Maybe even listening to them and saying, hey, like, how are you guys doing? Maybe not walking up and say, man, I have a tough time, but just saying, hey, I need to... Like, how are you doing? I want to hear about you. I want to learn about you. We see Jesus do that. That's why we encourage you to read this whole chapter this week, is to see Jesus, how he interacts with this woman. But we need to pray for those people. Take time. But I was on FaceTime with one of my best friends with college. Shout out, Ryan. I hope you're watching. But we were on FaceTime, and he's like, so tell me about your dad's church. Like, what's it like? I said, I mean... It's kind of like VU, just a little smaller. But I told him I believe that God is starting and stirring something up in this community. And I think as a church, we're going to go reach the city of River Falls that we've never done before. We're going to serve this city. We're going to love these people. And we're going to be surprised who comes to Journey Church. No one's too bad. No one's not valuable enough to come to Journey Church, because every person has value. And every name has a story. And every story matters to God. So the third observation is this, that the disciples were shocked. For me, I had a tough, I was like, okay, why were the disciples shocked? But I think it's because of this, that Jesus broke the stereotype. Jesus broke the stereotype of what this woman was supposed to be. They thought Samaritans were unclean people. They were mixed breed. They didn't really have a place to live in society. Jews didn't socialize with Samaritans. So Jesus, when he did that, they're like, oh, what, Jesus, why? It's because Jesus broke their stereotype. I think it's interesting that they broke that woman's stereotype too, that Jews didn't act with Samaritans. So Journey Church, do you guys, I know for me there's times I have to think and pray, but I think we all have stereotypes that we need to challenge. And I was thinking about it yesterday. I hope I say this the right way, but I think when we have stereotypes, we need to confront stereotypes. And that's, on, if you, I've got to say this better, but you need to confront those stereotypes, and you need to pray to God and say, hey, like, why am I thinking like that? And maybe you see someone with a beat-down car, and you see them as, oh, they're not as wealthy as me. I'm good. Or maybe you hear where some family lives, and because of that, you're not going to take your kids to go play with their kids because of where they live. I know we need to challenge those. So my challenge for you guys this week is, if you guys have that, say, oh, why do I think because of where they live, they're less than me? Why do I think because they have a beat-down car that they're less than me? My grandpa, I have a rust bucket, so he sees my car as less. No, I'm kidding. But you should see, I need help with that car. It's lights flash whenever they want to flash. I don't even know what's going on, but I digress. But what stereotypes are you guys challenging today? I think we as a church need to confront, and maybe it's hey, I don't want to invite that person. Hey, why do I not want to invite that person to Journey Church? Maybe it's because you think they're different than you. But Journey Church, like we've said countless times this morning, that every person has value. Every name has a story. And God loves people. So I want to challenge Journey Church to look inwards, go deeper in their relationship with Jesus, go deeper in love with people. Take time to reflect. I mean, we're all still kind of in quarantine, so we should have time to reflect and think and pray. Pray, God, search my heart. Yesterday I prayed that, and I was like, some things are coming to mind. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have prayed that prayer. But God, search our heart as a church. But the three observations today were Jesus had to go through Samaria. So what is something that you need to do? What is something that you personally need to do? The woman was surprised. Whose story can you listen to? Who can you invite to church that you might never have thought to come to church? Who can you listen to, Journey Church, today? And number three, the disciples were shocked. What thought patterns are you going to confront and give to God? I know for me, I don't want to be that old, bitter person when I get older. And I think the only way to do that is to confront these thoughts, pray, invite people to church. I know for me, I pray that each day I grow more in love, kindness, generosity with time, money, even though that one's tough. Generosity, I think, will lead people to Jesus too. But when I was driving, I was like, how do these three observations even lead to no judgment? And I think for the first one is when we see someone else doing what they are called to do and we're not doing what we are called to do, that leads to jealousy. And jealousy, if you've ever been jealous, I know I have, will lead to, oh, why are they doing it that way? This is how I would do it. I think I could do it so much better. So I think that's why even this week, maybe just praying to God, saying, hey, like, this is a dream on my heart. Maybe even telling a friend, like, hey, this is a dream on my heart. Maybe getting a book, saying, hey, I want to be a better coach. Let me get that book today. Let me read and become better. For me, being preaching, I need to learn more. I need to watch more TED Talks on how to be a better communicator. But just taking those steps because of what you need to do, because that will affect people for eternity. And for who you can listen to, I challenge you guys this week to text that person, say, hey, praying for you. Hope you guys are doing well. Maybe even getting coffee with that person. Hopefully you can find somewhere to go. But finding and listening and inviting people to church, because when we invite people to church, I think that grows our faith. And when we're not doing that, we're just at a standstill. And we can't even grow at a standstill. We need to keep moving, keep watering, keep throwing seeds out. And three, the disciples were shocked. So what stereotypes are you guys going to challenge? Maybe it's you see someone with a lot of tattoo sleeves and say, oh man, he can't come to church. Well, why do you think that? What is a thought pattern that you need to confront and give to God? But the good news is, Journey Church, we have the Holy Spirit to help us with all these things. So pray, Holy Spirit, come and renew my thoughts, my minds. Read, get into the Word, pray. That's my challenge this week for you guys. But maybe some people in this room haven't made that decision to follow Jesus yet. So if we can all stand to our feet right now. And we're going to give people an opportunity to give their life to Jesus. So no one looking around, eyes closed. On the count of three, we're going to give you that opportunity. One is that Jesus, he has eternal value. You have eternal value. Two, Jesus died on the cross for our past, present, and future sins. And three, if you want to make that decision today, you can just lift your hand. No one's looking around today. Let's pray together, Journey Church. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share. Father, I just pray for those people that made that decision today here and online, Father. I just pray that they'll be plugged into a local church, that they'll find community, and that they will find freedom in your name, Jesus. Father, I just pray just for this message too, that it will engrave in our hearts, that we will be challenged to love others, that we'll be challenged to confront our thoughts and our stereotypes, that we'll do something that has never been done before to reach people that has never been reached before. So Lord, we pray for this week that we'll have a great week, that we'll continue to live out the word of God, that we continue to dive in deeper and love other people deeper, Jesus. Lord, we just want to look like you today. Lord, I just pray that your love will fill us. Holy Spirit, continue to work and breathe in our lives, Father. We just love you and we praise you. In your name, amen.